We were talking about this is baby care on Shabbos number two. We got two diapers last time, so we were holding my diaper rash. That was where we were at. Okay, so the two issues which anytime we're dealing with these type of questions is general issue you have to keep in mind is always the question of refuah. So Chazal made a prohibition that a person can't get involved in using medication on Shabbos. However, they did not make that prohibition to somebody who's considered ill enough that they belong in bed, etc. So a child, a diaper rash is considered significant enough that we have a status of a chola, of somebody who's sick, and therefore the refuah problem is not a problem. So that's not the issue we're going to deal with. The issue we're going to deal with is the malacha of mimareach, the issue of smoothing. So one of the lamentes malachas, one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is that based on the process of building the Mishkan was, interestingly enough, was memachek. Memachek was taking the hides of the animals to be used as the tent over the Mishkan and smoothing them off. So the malacha, so Chazal understood that to mean that anytime you have, you're smoothing something out, you're going to get involved in the malacha of memachek. The application over here is taking an ointment, taking a cream, taking something like that, and rubbing it on. That's going to be a problem with smoothing it out, and it's going to be a problem. So like this, if it's a free-flowing liquid, like a lotion or something of that sort, that's not a problem at all. You can put it on, you can smear it around, that's not a problem. You should put it on, even that type of situation, with a shinui, with some type of doing it in some type of different way, using the back of your hands, using a different finger than you would normally use. You usually use, let's say, your forefinger, using one of the smaller fingers, something like that. So you do it with some type of a shinui if possible, and that's the best way to do that. That's assuming that would be sufficient for the child. The blockage, whatever you need, is a free-flowing liquid. If you need something which is thicker, so that becomes more problematic, because then you're taking something which already has a substance to it, has some type of a consistency to it, and you're spreading it out, and that's a problem. Desitin, A&D, Vaseline, those type of things, you're going to have an issue. So what are your options? So the options are, let's say if you know that the child has a diaper rash before Shabbos. So there, you could take, put it on the diaper, put it on the diaper before Shabbos, put on the bandage before Shabbos, and store it in a plastic bag, and then put it on without rubbing it around. Just putting it on is not a problem. If you didn't do that before Shabbos, so you could do something similar to that on Shabbos. You could take from the tube and put on the baby without any smearing, and then put the diaper on and allow the movement of the diaper to smooth it around by itself without actually moving it around. That's going to be the preferred option if you have those two situations. Or you can put it on the baby, put it on the diaper. All those will be the same thing. Now, let's say, however, if what the need of the child is more than that, you need to actually smear it onto the child. You need to actually make sure it's getting onto the child. So this is a tzarech of a chayla. If the blockage which you need, the protection the child needs, is greater than a lotion is going to give you, you need something which is a thicker consistency, and just, you feel that just putting on a diaper and letting it move around alone is not enough. You have to make sure you get into all the areas which the diaper rash is affecting it and protecting them from the moisture, etc. So we're dealing with an iser. If we're dealing with an iser of miruach, which is the rabbanon, which is prohibited only mir rabbanon, so then doing it with a shinui for the tzarech for purpose of a chal is mutter. So what's called miruach the rabbanon? What's called miruach the raisa? And that's the challenge over here. There is a locha that's something called shemen av, thick oil. Thick oil is considered only derabbanan. I have to tell you that I sat there and I contemplated some tubes of different items, desitin, A&D, Vaseline, and I've seen some tshuvas about it. What they actually call desitin, dalet, ions, desitin, and Vaseline, vav, I'm looking at this. And I don't know, the Vaseline that they're talking about, the Vaseline I'm looking at, it don't look the same. I have to tell you. Yes?
So, do you have any examples of a free-flowing liquid that works
for this? It's a diaper rash spray, just like it's a wipe spray. There's like this thing that has diaper rash stuff in it, too.
Right. So that, well, that's for sure be good. Right, that's coming in a spray form. Do I have any examples in a practical? Practical, I do not. That you have to ask the ladies. So there is a suggestion, one of the Shulchan Aruch, which again, I have to tell you, I do not understand it, where they say desitzin is considered miruch deraisa. Vaseline is only derabonin. Now, I'm looking at it, and I think Vaseline is a thicker consistency than desitzin, if anything. I mean, that seems to me, but or at least they're equal to me.
Not you're getting Vaseline that's straight Vaseline or Vaseline that's been frothed and up, and it comes in a tube.
Because there is some desitzin that's very hard.
That's comes out very hard.
Saying it depends the type of Vaseline you can get.
Because I'm not sure what type of Vaseline they're picturing, but if they're picturing a thinner type of Vaseline, I can understand what they're talking about. So then you could put it on with a sheenery. You can layer it with a sheenery, and that wouldn't be a problem. But again, the back of the hand, you know, something in the back of the hand. Now let's say you have a situation where you have some type of a thing which you have to apply, which has to be rubbed in. So you know you can't, you know, so you're not just smoothing it out, you're actually rubbing it in. So there is, in a case where you're going to, the goal is to absorb it. Sometimes certain types of things you want them to absorb. So the goal is to absorb them, that is an advantage in halacha. By advancing it, by absorbing it to the point, you know, rubbing it to the point that it gets absorbed, some opinions hold that's not considered miruach. Miruach is you leave a layer on top. Over here, not, you're not smoothing it, you're making it absorb. But you have to actually make all of it absorb. So that's it.
So let's say someone's hands are cracking and gross. Are they allowed to do that and just rub it all the way in?
Theoretically. So the Dayan Weiss has a tshuva about it. He says he's found, he's tested it a few times. He's always found that some remains. That's what he's concerned about it. So I think for a real tzarech of a real tzarech of a child, the person, you know, for a child.
Hands are really. What about you? Or it only works for kids?
For kids, I'm comfortable with it because I think it's a real. They haven't done a bechelo. For an adult, if the pain would be significant to the point that they because it could be in bed, yes, okay. Hopefully, that's not where you're at, right? I once had a shiloh bacher came to me, Emily.
Okay, so just to clarify, so if the deg rash is severe enough, you can rub it.
Right. If you're dealing with something which is a thinner type, let's say some of the Vaseline which comes in a tube, it's a little bit thinner.
Thinner substance.
Right. Thinner substance. You know, it's not a lid, it's not a lotion. So you rub it in with a sheenery, with some type. You rub it on with some type of a back of your hand or something of that sort. That's permitted.
And then, is there any problem with taking Balmex? So Balmex is a little like taking it out of the jar and putting it on the diaper. It's like a.
So, if you could just put it on the diaper,
right.
So then not rubbing it, that'd be fine. I would just suggest over there using a spoon.
Oh, instead of your hands.
So you're not doing any smoothing process. You're just scooping it out and putting it on. If the only thing you can use is a very thick type of item, which is let's say their example is desitin, you know, then you should ask. You should come speak to me. Okay. Okay. Okay, next thing I want to talk about is nursing. One of the challenges of the malacha in the process of the nursing is one of the lama test malachas is extracting a liquid.
It
is extracting a liquid. The person squeezes out juice from an orange, that's a problem. A person squeezes out liquid from a grape, it's a problem. So why isn't or is nursing that issue? And the answer is it's done as a process of a child eating, so that's not the problem. Now taking it a step further, but if let's say you have a situation where sometimes the more talks about a situation where the halacha talks about a situation a child which is not really interested in starting to nurse, and the mother wants to grab the child's attention by expressing a certain amount of milk directly into the child's mouth to cause the child to start to nurse, that's permitted. That is permitted. Why is it permitted? Because but now the next step is, if a person, woman, will not to go just to express milk for the purpose of saving it for afterwards, that's prohibited.
Can't pump.
We'll get to what's mozzarella in a second. Right? But the act of person expressing milk to save it is malacha deraisa. It's prohibited on a Torah level because it's like squeezing an orange. It's like squeezing out a grape. You're taking something which has the status of a solid and producing a liquid out of it. So why is it permitted to do it for the child? There are different answers why it's permitted for doing it for the child. It's not the normal way of doing it. There's a potential danger to the child's life. You don't really want that milk per se. You just want to catch a child's attention. Different arguments why it's permitted. Okay, but let's say a woman has a child, which we'll deal with two questions. One for the needs of the child, one for the needs of the woman. If the woman needs to express the milk because of pain. But let's deal with first the need of the child. You have a child which is not nursing. The child is not nursing, for whatever reason, is having difficulty nursing, and the mother wants to give the child milk, her milk. So the normal way she does it is she expresses the milk and puts it in a bottle and feeds the child baby with the bottle. Or she uses that to supplement it between, you know, when she's not available, or et cetera, right? All different possibilities. So the child will not take any other milk but the mother's milk. So obviously, we deal with the not getting its food is considered a danger to life, and it's going to be mutter to do that. That's the only way you can do it. It's going to be mutter to do that.
One second, you shouldn't try
formula. I'm going to get there in a second. I said if the child will only take the only thing the child will take is the mother's milk. Mother's tried. And it hasn't worked. But since we have formula available, a person would be required to attempt to give the child formula. Usually, this doesn't happen on Shabbos. All of a sudden, she just wakes up on Shabbos. Wow, my child won't take anything else. I mean, she's been aware of this issue beforehand. The child is not nursing directly, and the child is not taking anything else. We'll try it before Shabbos. Don't wait till Shabbos to have to deal with the issue. You can figure it. Usually, it doesn't wake up on Shabbos. It probably happened on Tuesday already that she's having this issue. So on Tuesday, I get this phone call an hour before Shabbos. Rabbi, I was like, wow, like we could have thought of this earlier in the week, probably, and dealt with it then. So a person could try, you know. If the child takes formula, well, this is good, so you have a solution.
A lot of people now, just don't, I mean, I guess that would be different, if you don't want the child, stomach issues, or whatever, you don't want the child to have the formula, but...
You know, Rashi wrote the book called Shabbos, I didn't write it.
Can I ask a different question?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit confused as to how a breast is considered, an orange. For a lot of reasons, but just for a biological thing, the orange, the milk, the juice is there, and it's you're taking it out. Whereas for milk, your glands are there, but the process of the baby feeding actually is what starts the milk flowing. I feel like you're constantly making new. It's so different to me than having something with the juice is sitting inside and you're squeezing it out. It's very different than what goes on when you.
If anything, the way halacha understands it, the more that it's already exists beforehand, it's less of a malacha, and the more that you're producing something new, it's more of a malacha.
Okay.
So the argument that it's different it might be true, but it doesn't make it better.
Okay.
It's not everything.
That's a good answer.
Okay. Okay. Now, it does say the situation where a woman needs to express milk for her own pain. The child is not taking enough or whatever, and the child's not taking, and she has milk, and she needs to because of the pain of the woman, she's allowed to express the milk. That her main goal over here is not the milk. Her main goal over here is to remove to get the milk out of her body because of the pain. So you're allowed to do that by hand. You shouldn't be using a pump for that purpose. And the milk should not be saved. So if you do it in a way that the milk is not being saved. So, we'll explain what that means in a second. So, it's malacha shenetzuch lagufa. The malacha is taking out the milk. I don't need it for the milk. I'm just doing it to get it out. That's not to have it. That's called malacha shenetzuch lagufa. The definition of saying the milk is not being saved, it has to be immediately. Can't be, first of all, I have the milk in the container, and then I throw it out. That's not, I caught the milk. So, the goal is that immediately you should put in the kli something which will cause, in the container, something which will cause make the milk not to be usable as soon as it comes in. Now you have a situation you have unusable milk in this kli. So is that a problem of muksa? And the answer is that it is. So you should put something else in the kli besides, which is not muksa, so they shouldn't have a problem of bitul kli
mechomer.
What? Cereal
and milk.
with soap, yeah.
So you put soap in. So you put soap in. You can put you put a little spoon in the bottom, a little plastic spoon in the bottom. Good old plastic spoons are good for everything.
When you say by hand, do you mean a
pump by hand? Pump by hand is fine.
So you can use a manual pump?
Manual pump is fine.
So Rabbi Berger,
yeah.
Apparently, people have told me that he heat that they leave their pumps on.
I'm getting there. Okay. Okay.
I couldn't understand what you're
saying. Okay, now.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay, so now, I've had the situation more than once where this was a situation where the child need wasn't for the mother, it was needed for the child. The child was, but the mother was needed the help with the pump to get it out for the child. So, there's one etzah that you can do, where Simcha ben Elkanah also suggested, is that it's not an easy etzah, you know. Not all eights is always easy. Is put on a timer.
And this is for the baby or to release the child?
Either one. Right. It's much easier for the mother than for the baby. Okay. The person can leave the pump on a timer. Attach the cup before the timer turns on. And then when the timer turns on, the machine is doing it, not herself. However, the person cannot be involved in the process at any point at all, which means they can't hold the cup in place, because that means they're involved in the process. So practically, you would have to make sure tie it on or something, do some way that it's attached to the body. You cannot be involved in the process. You're totally passive. And the machine is doing it, not you. That's the heter. So it's a form of a grama, and a grama is permitted in the case of a necessity. So that is something
which... you attach everything and just sort of sit there like this.
And you have to be
and
there
it
before
turns on.
It turns on.
Right.
Once it turns on.
Also, you have to just set your timer.
And do you have to stay there until it turns off? Or could...
No, that's not a problem.
Even if you have to, like, maneuver yourself? No, if you have to, like, use your hands to...
So the disengage is not a problem. The problem is as long as you're stopping the process, that's fine. Uh-huh. It's engaging, which is the... You know, helping or engaging is the problem.
So why is it not a problem for your hand to express with a pump? Then you're engaging in the process,
right? Because, but if the milk is going directly to Ibud.
Okay, you're heard. Right. Yeah, so I heard that you just have a soup at the bottom, but you're saying you also have to have a spoon and soup.
Yeah, so the soap at the bottom is to make the milk not but then you have a problem. You're putting something non-edible in the kli. There's a rule in muksa. I can't take a usable kli and put muksa in on Shabbos and make it not usable. Because it's equivalent to making the kli not usable.
Oh,
I'm damaging the kli in a certain sense.
So one second.
Why? It could just sit there till after Shabbos.
Exactly, but I made it kli, which is usable, not usable anymore. I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything with it anymore. It's called bitul kli
mechonah. So in theory, could that work with other setting timers for other things like...
Groma is not motu l'chadchila. You have to have a real tzarech for it. So we have a real tzarech, a little matzah for it.
You still have the soap in it.
Correct. No. The Kiddush over here is, if the child really needs it.
But if it's for the mother's sake.
For the mother's sake, you have to be right, correct. If the child would need it, we would be makel to do this in case of a necessity. And then you could use, because you're not taking out the milk. The machine is taking out the milk, and you give the milk to the child. Okay, the spoons. What are the dishes? I have a cup, right? So the cup, beginning of Shabbos, is a very nice, usable cup, etc. Now I take this cup and I put muksa inside of it, something which is not allowed to move on Shabbos. So now the cup is not allowed to be moved. So besides the muksa inside, I've in a certain sense damaged, in a certain sense, we look at it as if you're damaging the cup. You can't break a cup. I can't go break a cup on Shabbos. Right? I remember when paper towels first came out, I saw a tshuva about one of the places was dealing with paper towels. There's this new thing called paper towels. Well, it's this nice usable towel, and you put your hands in it, and you make it not usable. Are you allowed to do that? You're destroying a kli.
Were you saying the milk?
It's like an interesting question. So if the case where we put the milk in, we put some soap in the bottom, so this way the milk is not usable. So now you have this inedible object inside of the cup, which is not, you can't eat it, you can't wash with it, you can't do anything with it. So it makes the cup, so if you put something else inside there, so the cup doesn't become prohibited because there's something usable inside also. Okay.
Yeah, but why is it helpful that the cup, can't...
So that's a basis of the davar asur, davar mutar. The cup itself is a basis.
Sure.
A basis can... A basis
the
can...
Davar
asur, is not considered muksa. Okay. Baby carriages. Okay, opening baby carriages. So, leaving hood aside for a second, opening a baby carriage which is closed is not a problem. Closing a baby carriage is not a problem. Converting a carriage to a, you can convert them to different things. It's all not a problem as long as you're not tightening any screws. They're just things lock into place, etc. There's hooks, etc. Nowadays, it's pretty good, Baruch Hashem. Nobody's screwing anything into place when they change their baby carriages. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so folding a stroller is not a problem. The real challenge is the issue of the hood and netting, etc. So what's the issue? So we know one of
the hood and netting. What netting?
If a person wants to put like a mosquito netting over the carriage.
Got it. The shade,
yeah. Okay, so what's the issue? Let's just understand the issue. So, because we don't understand the halacha, let's understand the issue. One of the lama test malachas is bona, is building. That's malacha deraisa, building something. Chachamim came along and said that a person would make what's called an oil. Now, normally building is defined by taking different items and putting them together and creating something. I take bricks and I make a wall. The Gemara has one opinion which says I take cheese and I press it together, curds and I press it together. I'm taking the pieces and making it into one big block. That's like bona. Right? That's bona. The definition of bona is taking pieces and putting together, building something. Over here, I'm not taking pieces and putting together. I'm spreading something out, making a canopy. I'm making an oil. I'm making some type of a... So, if a person would do that in a permanent fashion, that would be a tolda of bona. It's not bona mamish, but it's a tolda of bona. It's a derivative of bona, and that's also made of rice. A person does it in an oil aroy, which is a temporary oil, which is what we're going to be dealing with over here. You're not making this thing, you're going to keep it there forever. It's an oil aroy. So, oil aroy has some things which are permitted, and some things which are prohibited. You can't make an oil aroy like an oil aroy. And oil is this canopy, a roy, which is temporary, l'chadchila. You can't go make it from scratch, even on Shabbos. So I want to take and start taking this sheet and making this canopy over here. I can't do that. I can't do that on Shabbos. Not only I can't do that, I can't take it apart. I can't fold it back and take it apart. One example you have over there is kids playing tents. Kids playing tents, so you put the chairs together, you take the sheet or the blanket, and you spread it out, and the goal over there is to make this canopy.
Even inside, this has something to do with why
I inside, outside, doesn't make a difference. So now, they say it came along and they said the definition of an oil, we'll see the definition of an oil, the concept of a size of a tefach, which is a fist size, this length this way, which is measured 17, 3 and 4 inches, plays a role. The definition of an oil, it has to be at least a tefach. Tefach why? So if I make a TP like this, there's never a point where it's a flat tefach, no problem. I'm allowed to make that on Shabbos. No problem. If I want to make it flat, I got a problem.
Even if it's temporary.
If I want to make it l'chadchil. If there already is a oil of a tefach, so I have an oil there already, so now I'm not making a new one, I'm just extending it. So for oil aroy, that's permitted. For a temporary oil, to extend it is permitted. To make it new one, I can't. But to extend it is permitted. So if I would have my baby carriage, and I have this hood over here, this canopy, which is made to act as an oil, to be a shade, and it's already partially open, and I want to extend it further, no problem. If I want
to... It has to be at least a tefach.
Has to be at least a tefach. Has to be at least a tefach open already beforehand. See 3 and 4 inches. Now, however, just point out, whatever is rolled does not count. It has to be open. In other words, like crows are together, of course, that's a tefach wide. It's like that.
That's just the way it normally stands.
Right, that's not called open.
You have to actually do. So you shouldn't leave your strollers folded before Shabbos then.
So, do you want to have a little bit open? This much, so you've extended like one notch. Usually gives you like a tefach, and then now I can come on Shabbos and I can open it all the way, or I can come on Shabbos and I can put a netting over it and over the child because I'm just extending this oil aroy. If there's no hood, if I want to go and attach the hood, it wasn't attached. I want to put it on a Shabbos. I'm starting from scratch. Right? So that's not going to work.
Blessed the hood itself is open before Shabbos, but it was unattached.
That's an interesting question. Famous question is, if I have an umbrella open before Shabbos, right? In other words, I can't open it. So the same problem, I can't open an umbrella on Shabbos, right?
Yeah, but that might be different because then people look at it
leaving Mar Sinai aside for a second. Let's say I live on a desert island. There's nobody else there to see. Nobody, not worried about Mar Sinai right now. Nobody's going to see me. But I have my umbrella, of course. You know, desert island. Make sure you have an umbrella. And I have my umbrella, and it's open. You know, before Shabbos. So can I carry it on Shabbos? So if theoretically it's sitting in a place, it's not acting as an oil right now, and I put it in a place to make it as an oil, that's a problem. If theoretically I have it right now standing over here just protecting this area, so I'm just moving it, that's fine.
I mean, if it's the right way, if it's like standing up.
Right, theoretically that'd be much. So there is a Mar Sinai problem. I do not think you should be walking out with umbrellas. There's a Mar Sinai problem because he wasn't happy with walking out with umbrellas. So if your hood is...
strollers? Like, how do I even... I don't even know how to detach it from my jogging stroller.
Good. So then don't.
So you have no problem.
Don't detach it.
You have no problem.
But you're saying I'm not supposed to walk around with it at all.
No.
That's umbrellas.
The stroller's fine.
Oh, you're talking about strollers. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
So, can you just clarify? So it has to be a little bit open.
A little bit open before Shabbos.
How much is
3 inches. Okay. It was 3 inches open. Okay.
Can I have a question about strollers with regards to screws and whatever?
You know what? Can you hold? Let me finish. I want to finish this talk. We'll let the finish this thought. Okay. So, now, Chazal came along and said, they came along and they said, we're going to give you, because Earl Roy is the Rabbanan, we're going to give you a heter. The heter is if you change the order. So normally, how do you make something? You put the walls, you put the top. So I take my stroller and I put the netting on top of it. If I hold the netting in place and put the stroller under it, that's mutter.
But you still can have your...
See, that, and even though nothing was open beforehand, so the canopy I can't open, but a netting, if I want to put add a netting, so that's a trick. I have two people, one person holds the netting, one person rolls the stroller underneath it, that's mutter. A rain cover, the same type of thing, right?
Once your canopy's open, you can put the netting.
If the canopy's partially open, you can put the rain cover, you can put the netting, that's not a problem. You can...
But even so, let's say you want to just do it if it doesn't fit perfectly, but just to cover. Can you just put a raincoat on?
I just put a raincoat.
Same thing.
So you have to do the wheel the stroller into the raincoat.
Well, again, well, if the canopy is open at that far, so you can put the raincoat.
But if it's not, you can't just throw a raincoat over.
Right.
You have to wheel the stroller.
Now, if the raincoat is going to sit, it's heavy.
It would never sit. I don't know if it would never sit if you don't have it open.
Okay, so...
Over the handles. Let's say you
would suffocate the kid. If there's no hood, how would you ever do that? You would never be able to do this if you didn't have a hood.
Okay, so I know we had air holes on the side. Okay, so
buttonholes.
So if it's going to lie flat over the child, it's not going to create any. If there's no gap of a tefach between the child and the item, again, there's no problem. Because an oil is a tefach. Part of an oil being a tefach is the canopy is a tefach. It's being oil over, it's acting as an oil over something. So it has to be, if there's no gap of a tefach, it's vayter mutter. So I'm just going to have the kid lying back and right over his face. But that's not, you know, you don't do that probably because it's not the safest thing to do. So don't do that. But if it's just, if you have a child, you know, an infant, when you're putting it, pushing it in a carriage, so again, you lay it over the top. There's a gap. That's the same problem. You lay it over the top of this. Here's your carriage, and you lay it over the top, and the baby's lying there. So if the gap is less than a tefach, you're okay between the baby and the. That's usually not the case, and you can't rely on that. Okay. Now I do want to point out that there is a prohibition of destroying an oil. The prohibition of destroying an oil, which means if I have this oil over here and I close it up and I close up the canopy, I just destroyed an oil. So I should leave a tefach open. Right? So It works both ways.
If you have to fold up the stroller, is it automatically going to close
the
hood?
Yeah, if it does automatically close the hood, are you not allowed to fold it?
Then you shouldn't fold it up.
Correct. Now, I want to tell you, there's a Chazanish. The Chazanish is makel on all of this. Chazanish came along and says that since this is already, it's all one unit, and it's made to open and close, that's not making an oil and destroying an oil. That's like opening and closing an item. It's not called making an oil. So it's made to open and close, and everything's already attached. See, the whole thing is mutter. Ramosha Zatzal was asked about this question and about this Chazanish, and Ramosha said we should be machmer and not rely on the Chazanish. But I do believe in a situation where there is, you know, we're dealing with it, you're talking about, you feel that there's some real need, it's raining very heavily and that it's cold out and the child will get sick and you don't have, you know, the only way you can put a covering is by doing this, you don't have this, you know, eights of rolling the stroll underneath, you don't, you're all by yourself, you can't do it, you only have two hands, you know, it's very hard, you know, right? So you can rely on the Chazanish to open it if necessary. So the preferred definitely is not to do that, but in case of necessity, there's a Chazanish to rely on.
So what about, like, we're leaving the Warwick, so to fold the stroller back up to carry it up the stairs? And
right, so the only way you can get it up, you know, it becomes very, very difficult folding up, I would say you can fold it up, but then you got to open it up again, you know, that's it.
And another question, our stroller, the umbrella stroller that we use on Shabbos and the hood, like, you could open it, but sometimes it flops down, like, in front of his, is there any problem with fixing it, like, putting it back up? Like, it doesn't collapse,
it goes,
but
like
it'll,
this, and then comes back up.
Yeah, it'll slide down.
You put it
down.
Away, it's just, like, one flat piece.
Right.
And it goes down and flips back up, but it's always a flat piece.
Try again. Okay, it's a flat piece, but it's not always extended.
Sometimes it's hanging down in the back, and sometimes it's flipped up and covering the child.
You just flip it around this way.
There's just like a little hinge here, so it's going up and down.
Right, so that would be a problem. That would be the same problem. It's a tefach wide, so it's...
But sometimes it'll just like fall, like it's cheap, so it'll like fall down in, like, right in front of his face. Like,
it falls down in front of his face. Tell your husband, Rabbi Reinhold said you need to get a new stroller. Okay. No. Okay.
Is that a problem?
Put
it back up.
Had a problem. Put it back up.
But you're saying because it's not.
It loses.
It's open.
It loses. Question Emily saying is it should lose its status of a being an oil.
Anymore. Just like it's like in front of his face.
It loses its status of an oil.
The sun in his eyes because it's right in front of his face.
If the sun's in his eyes. The sun's back there.
It doesn't cover the back anyway.
No, it's just like a little.
So what's the point of it then?
Because it does cover something. It does cover his head. Like,
so if it falls on a regular basis, I think it's mutter.
If it falls, then I can
fix it. The more it falls, the more it's mutter to put it back because you're not really doing anything because it's not going to last.
The flap isn't good. Like if the flap is down, you can't.
Correct. Yeah.
I've now had twice on an occasion while I'll be using my jardin stroller and it has a quick release button. There's like a specific or whatever, and the front wheel will pop off. And the first time it happened, someone else, a man, was kind enough to put it back on, and I was sitting there and I was like, I have a feeling this is not okay, but I have three little kids. Yeah, I have three little kids, and I have no way to get there, and I'm not really sure because it is something that's meant to come off. Like, it's a quick release thing so that, like, when you fold it up and you want to get even smaller, you can take, like, the wheel off. But you do, like there's, like, a thing that you can easily screw in and, like, get it all together. So, like, it is meant to come off, but it is a screw. And it's not happened to me twice. The second time, I, like, was close enough to home that I left my I carried my kids. But I live a mile away from the shop. So if this happens on my walk, I, like, leave it on some random person's grassy area. Last time it happened, my husband was with me, so he could carry the cable. I, like, took the stroller and, like, on its back leg, sort of took it somewhere. But
then if there's no purpose of the stroller, if you can you...
I can't leave it on someone's random... I mean, maybe I can't. Maybe I'm supposed to. I don't know. I'm wondering what I do.
Get a new stroller.
And our husband's...
Yeah,
we all get
$300.
Stay in your house
I would probably want to see the mechanism before this. some screws which are made, if it's made to come on and off on a regular basis. I mean, let me ask a question like this. This is a screw.
Yeah, it is. That's not, it's a screw. It has a quick release thing on the front. So it has at the end of the screw sort of like a thing that if you push it down like this, it'll stay in place. If it pops up like this, you can easily go like this and turn it quickly. And then you pop it back down to keep it in place.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's like a quick release something.
So it's not made to pop off when you hit a pothole.
No, it's not. It's made to be able to easily just flip off and come off so you can take the wheel off.
Uh-huh.
Like whenever you want to take the wheel off. It's not like you need a screwdriver. You know,
I understand.
It's made so that you can do it with your hands.
I don't know for sure. I'm not sure what I was want to think. If you can remind me, I'll look into it.
Okay.
Okay. You can send me an email.
Okay.
Okay. You have my email?
I don't know.
You have my email?
No, but I have your wife's email. Does that count?
That's almost counts. It's E. Rangel at Yeshiva instead of R. Rangel at Yeshiva. Okay, so R. Rangel at Yeshiva is not Rabbi Rangel, it's Mrs. Rangel. Okay. 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 Porter, setting up a porter crib. Yeah.
Just something practically that we've done for that is I'll like take a blanket or like a stuffed animal and open part of the hood and stick it in there before Shabbos, because I always find like when I put my baby in the stroller, it flaps closed.
That's great. Yeah, that's
so
a good idea. Yeah, great. Thank you.
And then when I forget, he screams. So.
That's not part of the ritual, you mean?
What?
It's part of the ritual now.
I try to. Sometimes, though, like, if it closes, then it's a problem because he screams with the sunlight. But then I could rely on.
There is a chazan, again, if case where you don't have another solution,
try,
right, you have a solution, there is a chazan you should rely on. It's not just the chazan, each other person hold like that also. So Mersha said not to rely on it, but I think, you know, in the case of necessity, you could. Okay. Setting up a porter crib.
It's not like a pack and play?
A pack and play. Yeah, porter crib. So I can't tell you, we have, like, porter crib, you know, pack and play number one, version number one, like, which was like, right now it's like, you know, version number 17, it's almost turning 18 soon, so you get, it was like a whole ASIC putting things together. So you potentially have an issue. You're laying on a floor, you're making an oil over the ground. Okay, so but if it's not made to be an oil, it's, you know, your goal isn't to make an oil over the ground. Your goal is to put it on the floor. So I want to open up those folding chairs you take. You're not folding the collapsing chairs that you take out to the ball games, right? It's the same thing. You open it up, and now you have this oil underneath. So that's it's one piece that everybody agrees with. It's made to open and shut. It's one piece, and your goal isn't to make an oil. Since your goal is not to make an oil, everybody agrees that's mutter. Okay? So that's not a problem. So I want to take one of those chairs, open it up, so same thing over here. I want to, but that's only because there's no walls. In other words, so the chair has no walls going down. If I don't have a very fancy chair which had walls on the side, I might have a problem. Now I have walls, and I have the bottom of the chair, the seat of the chair, so now there's this, like, walls, and it looks like a canopy beneath it. That's a problem. So the porter crib, theoretically, well, I don't have any walls. Where the floor is, there's no walls beneath it, but if the walls reach within three tefachim of the ground, you have a concept called lavud. It's if the walls went down to the ground.
Concept called what?
Lavud. Where, with anything with a gap of less than three tefachim, we consider it if it's closed. So if the height of the porter crib is within 9 inches of the ground, and there's a gap, the floor is a gap of 3 inches between it and the ground, you have a problem making it. Again, so the solution would be to make it out of order.
Okay, so basically we should just make it out of order.
Or just make it before
Shabbos. Make it out of order.
So again, we said that these type of things, if you put the walls second, as opposed to the walls first. See, in our pack and play, you could. That's it. You know, my, the old generation, like, you know.
By definition, wait, does it help that by definition you're doing it out of order because nowadays you have to do the walls first and then the floor?
No.
Like, you have to. It won't let you do it another way?
No, I don't think so. I think it would be an issue. It's probably the best thing to make sure you open before Shabbos.
What if you forgot? Or if you get somewhere really late and it's...
I don't know. I have to look at it. See if maybe there's some way of doing it, changing the order.
Can you go through and just? I'm a little confused. What am I looking for if I have to do it after Shabbos? That it's.
There's two issues we have to be. If the gap, if it goes, it's within less than 4 inches of the ground. No problem.
They're all
the bottom, not the mattress. What?
All greater than this. Which thing is smaller?
Are they? The bed part, the floor.
The bed part of the floor. But the gap between that and the ground is less than that, so don't worry about it. Number one. If the walls, on the other hand, if it's 9 inches off the ground, again, don't worry about it.
If what's 9 inches off the ground?
The walls. The bottom of the walls.
Meaning it has to be between 3 and 9 to be a problem?
Yeah.
That's
between 3 and 9
is
probably more than 9.
Right. Between 4 and 9,
what
if you make
put
a 4.
It on something higher.
if you did that, that'd be fine. If you
how would you do that?
I don't know. You
know,
like, let's say
you
took a couple books and
take,
put them like encyclopedias.
You right? Like
you put the 4 ends in it and raise it off the ground.
That's dangerous
because
that's high.
Okay, okay.
What about the foldable cribs?
Those things you can carry, it's like a little bed type thing.
It's
like on
the
floor.
They call them like grandparents' cribs or something. They're like the walls, the bottom of the bottom comes up and then it like folds. It's not, it's just folding in half. I don't think I'm explaining that very well. Here's the wall of the cribs and this part.
Is it one piece?
I think so.
It's all one piece. So then it's mutter. Because then it's like the case of, well, no,
like
because
one,
we still have the wall issue.
Separate them, and then the mattress part falls down.
It's the same, it'd still be a problem.
No, it's not even.
But those are, might be higher off the ground.
It's higher off the ground, that's what you're better.
Could make it.
Okay. Brushing hair on Shabbos. Not talking about ladies, talking about kids. Okay, what?
The difference between adults and kids with that?
No.
So just brushing hair, not kids.
Brushing hair, right? Talking about kids, right?
Oh, wow.
So there's two issues you have when brushing hair. One is you have a brushing hair is that the goal of is to straighten out the hair, etc. Usually you're going to pull out hairs. Pulling out hairs is prohibited. So for that we say the solution is a person would do light strokes. That is a few light strokes. Okay, we can say that's permitted. The second issue is, however, that there's three issues. Second issue is that the brush, since it's made for doing more than that, is muksa, because it's made to pull out hairs, and it's made to do the process of brushing, which pulls out hairs.
You got those baby brushes.
So the solution for that is to get what they have, what's called baby brushes, you know, which don't do too much. Okay.
They're good for babies, though.
Right. Very, very thin, very, very light hair.
Yeah.
They move the hair. The third thing is that the Magen Avraham comes along and says that there's an issue of uvda d'chol. Of the lechol means using the weekday brush. Brushing is a weekday type of activity, so you can't use a weekday brush. You have to have a brush which is designated just for Shabbos. So if you have a baby brush, fine, have two, one which you use during the week, and one which you only have used for Shabbos. This doesn't only apply to brushing hair, this issue of the lechol, it applies to toothbrushes. Right? So using a toothbrush on Shabbos, without using toothpaste and without adding liquid would be mutter, theoretically, unless your gums always bleed. Your gums don't always bleed by brushing, so you know, there's no problem with bleeding. There's no problem with squeezing because you're not adding any liquid. There's no problem with smearing anything because you're not using any toothpaste. B'tuchel, you have to have a special Shabbos toothbrush.
Can you just have like a special on that?
They don't look any different. As long as this is my Shabbos, I don't use it on Shabbos. I, you know. Similarly, you have flossers. You know, the ones which come like already, like, you know, very little, comes like a little, you know, whatever they call them, flossers, right? Okay, so you can't use the same one from the week. That each time you use a new one, so that's by definition, it's not a problem. It's always a new one. So I don't save them from week to week. Use the same one. You throw them out, right? So you use one, you throw it out. I think you have ones where you thread it. You keep using the same. It's like a metal one, which has you keep. That might be a problem. You'd have to have a special one for Shabbos, but the plastic disposal one's not a problem. Again, assuming that you don't always bleed. If you don't always bleed, you're allowed to floss your teeth on Shabbos using flossers.
Yeah, but can I ask a little gross question? Let's say you only have one floss box and you just take it and you like use it and don't pull it out and like wrap it around the back type of thing. Is that a problem of the disposal?
I think you have a muksa problem because since normally the derech is to cut them off and to etc. Part of the process is the cutting, so I think there's a muksa issue. Okay. Yes.
Brushing
a sheitel basically is we assume an halacha brushing a sheitel is the same problem you have for brushing hair. It was going to be pulling out hairs out of the sheitel, hopefully not. Usually, it does, you know, it's a good chance that it does. So it's a problem.
But I was sure that it wasn't a problem. So, it's not hair. I mean, it's not a scalp. You're not pulling it.
Through. Right. It's considered some act of breaking, you're damaging a kli. I have a kli which is made of this scalp cap.
You just told me I'm not
a problem. So the solution is to do it lightly. And so you should have a Shabbos brush.
Use a regular brushing thing, you're saying. And a regular comb, or even a regular comb.
Or you should do it lightly.
What about your fingers? Like if you're brushing.
I don't think it's particularly
fingers.
It's not
about the whole to pick my regular brush. You have to have a Shabbos brush, but could it be a similar brush with
it? Yeah, as long as you do it lightly.
The same type of brush, as long as
they
do it lightly.
So if I designate from them, this brush is its usage is
or a comb, a regular comb. I designate it and I do it lightly.
Theoretically, yeah.
But your finger,
fingers are a problem, not a problem.
But then if it gets like naughty, you can't
put
them
on. Right. My sheetals before I put them on my head. Is
can I ask a different sheetal question?
Yes.
What about sheetal heads and pins?
You know what? It's an interesting question. I just recently saw. I always assumed it's mutter. I just recently saw somebody raise a question on it. It's an interesting question. I said, well, I have to go back and look into that. So I don't really have an answer on it.
Pulling out is not a problem.
The problem is putting it in. I don't know. But it was just like, wow, I never thought about that. That's an interesting question. Okay, I've covered what I want to cover, except for the refuah issues, which I promised you would be a separate shear. Rash not being. You know.
Kid.
Yes.
Can you close the diaper like this?
A little differently than you normally close that diaper.
Dab it on and then close the diaper.
Theoretically, you could, as long, you know, if you're not moving it around. It's very hard to get the, you know, if no circular motion. Just I don't know. It's hard to say that's going to happen. A safety pins. I left safety pins out. Last year, we was informed that nowadays diapers are coming back into vogue. You know, okay, so diapers come back into vogue. So then all of a sudden, there's diaper pins. This was a discussion. There's different opinions in regards to sewing involved in closing it with a diaper pin. There's what to be relying on that using a diaper metal diaper pins, or plastic diaper pins, are not a problem. It's not considered sewing.
Is it temporary?
The machloike, the issue is sewing in halacha is considered two stitches, three stitches is considered sewing at a derisa level. So if I take a thread and I go in and out and in, I've done tofer. You know, go up, down.
Goes in and back out.
Right, so two is only usher if it be you would knot it or something like that. Now the question is using a safety pin the same thing as sewing? So some person would say, yeah. I'm just.
Well, because people use it for sewing. I have a shirt that has a tear that I.
The idea is.
Pin is coming down in your skirt. Can you pin it?
Right, so that's the question. So that's the form of sewing.
So what's the answer?
Right, so but what's the argument that it's mutter? Even as a mutter is, whereas opposed to a thread, which you know goes with the weave and sort of connects. This is this metal piece, which is hard, which stays distinct, doesn't get. So that's the argument. So the Kerben Nisanel already produced this argument. This goes back 350 years ago. Already they were in the safety pins, where they had pins. Now we're allowed to use pins. You're allowed to pin something. The Chazon Ish holds you can be samech on that opinion. So
does it matter if you're going to take if it's
like this teifer, which is done to be temporary, less than 24 hours is mutter. So that's why safety pins is another argument why safety pins are mutter, because you're usually going to leave it for less than 24 hours. But if I want to pin my the hem of a skirt or hem of a pair of pants, you might just leave it there until the next Shabbos.
Unless you make sure to take it out.
So you have to make sure to take it out.
Let's say you're using like a pin, like a brooch.
So over there, your goal is not to make the two items one.
Right.
So that's not your goal. So then you're not your goal. So then that for sure would make a lot.
Meaning, yeah. Like the hem, you might leave it there, so you have to remember or not. But if it's.
If you want to like make a shirt tighter or something, you can't get it off your head without taking off the safety pin then.
Right.
Then that would be okay.
Correct. Correct.
Even if it has more than two stitches or no?
Even if it's more than two stitches. Right? Because.